Chef Jeff Smedstad of Sedona's Elote Cafe has become famous for his innovative interpretations of Mexican and Southwestern cuisine over the years. And he's having a good year. He just received his first James Beard Award nomination, and he just released his second cookbook, The Elote Cafe Notebook.
But the Chandler native began his cooking career on a Coast Guard cutter on a desert island when he was 17. The show's Lauren Gilger got to spend a little time in his kitchen recently to find out a little bit more about what goes into his cooking. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, guys. So I did get to go up there. Since I am a lover of Southwestern food and of Sedona, I went up to his restaurant on a recent Saturday morning to talk about the new book and to grill some corn and roast some poblano chilies. It's all part of the 8+ hours of prep work that goes into a night's dinner there.
Well, we're working on the corn for tonight. I mean, my restaurant's named Elote, so it doesn't happen without roasting about 400 ears of corn every morning.
400?
Yeah, so that's what we're looking at about today. So we've got all this corn going on the grill. We've got a bunch over here that's already nice and charred up, and that's one of the tricks to being here. Everything starts really early in the morning.
So this all takes quite a while cooking here.
It does. I mean, this is my life, and it's just how my days are. Then we've got beans going over here. And then we've got some nice Roma tomatoes simmering here that were already grilled before we started the corn on the grill. And then we've got that. That's for the house salsa. So we've got to get that going early so we can get it cold. And then not far over here, we've got lamb shanks going for tonight. They're simmering away. And the idea is when they smell good enough to eat, that's when they're ready. I mean, this is my little rule. And then we've got from last night an entire oven full of brisket that's been smoking all night. And, you know, it's ready because we can pretty much put a spoon right through it at this point.
Looks like it's going to fall apart.
That's the idea. We want it to be as good as any barbecue anybody would ever eat. The only difference is we're going to put it in an enchilada here.
So I want to talk a little bit about how you kind of came to be a quintessential Southwestern chef here.
I mean, I grew up in Chandler. So, I mean, you know, my first job at age 15 was scraping plates off at a Mexican restaurant in Chandler. You know, I'm not going to tell you I fell in love with Mexican food then. When I was 21, I actually went down to Mazatlan, Mexico, and that was an eye-opener for me because I grew up here with all the border food, but then I was like, wait a minute, there's a whole lot beyond the border, and you know, I just wasn't exposed to it other than a few dinners in Nogales growing up. But then after that, I really fell in love with the cuisine. I got a chance to study with Susana Trilling down there. I got a chance to be part of a family in Mexico for about 13 years. I've traveled everywhere down there to try the food first, because I wanted to do it right, because I grew up in Chandler, and I thought a kid from Chandler can't really, you know, show the experience of being from Veracruz. So I would go down there and I would try the food there, come back up here and try to do it exactly as it was. But now that I've been doing it for about 20 years, I'm starting to kind of create my own vibe on it. But I wanted to make sure that I was respecting where it came from first and foremost.
So this wasn't the kind of food you grew up necessarily eating at home. Tell me about that first time you went to Mazatlan and what about the food made you love it?
Well, I mean, Mazatlan, for first and foremost, was the seafood. I mean, it blew my mind. I mean, I just didn't know that they had that depth of flavor going on. And then the first time that I went down and visited Guanajuato, which was shortly after that, I went down to San Miguel de Allende and I walked into a market and my eyes just opened. I'd just gotten out of the Coast Guard. I'd been a cook there and I was going to culinary school at Scottsdale Culinary with my GI Bill. But then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute. There's a whole realm of flavor here that's not really being represented anywhere. I mean, this is a while back. So to me, it was the most exciting thing in the world. You know, I'd never seen a mango before growing up here. The grocery stores were a little more bleak back then. So I picked up a mango. People told me they were fantastic and took a bite out of it. Don't ever do that. Yeah. You know, so my learning curve was sharp and strong, but I'd like to think I persevered.
You have some peppers to roast this morning?
I do. We're going to be roasting some poblano chilies. That's part of the morning chores. It's kind of like working on a farm. We're going to go down this way. So this is sort of the second kitchen, but this will be our chilies for today. So how are we doing? This is one of those areas in the kitchen that people don't think of as being the kitchen, but it's as important as any other one to me.
Right, so we're outside here, sort of behind the restaurant.
Behind the restaurant. Got a couple smokers back here, a couple chili roasters back here. I have a pig roaster back here. So every morning I load up this roaster with chilies, poblanos, and then we let her rip. And that's a chili roaster. So I spin the whole wheel. Weighs about 100 pounds at this point, and you're just working with it. And the reason is, after I get a few good turns on it, I start to eyeball it, and I start to see where we're at in the chili roasting process. My jacket and my hair will be full of black stuff.
So they're almost there already. That's the nice thing about having a real powerful roaster, is you can start to see some of the chunks. So I'll hold it steady here a little bit. It's gonna get a little softer. And we are there. So they all have to be peeled now. That's the next step.
Heading back up?
Yeah. But the restaurant continues to evolve every day. I mean, before you guys came in, I've been sitting with my menus, and these marks are pretty serious marks. That's gonna be a new menu, probably next.
You're rewriting it?
Yeah, why not?
So let's talk a little bit about the new cookbook. So this is it right here.
Yeah, that's it.
And the idea here, right, is that you've taken some of the stuff that you do en masse here in the restaurant and tried to adapt it for somebody to be able to do it at home.
I've done that, and I've done a lot of other things that were just nice one-pot dishes and things of that nature. I mean, there's a brownie in there that I've never really served at the restaurant, but I think it's awesome. So it's a reflection of sharing things that I like to eat. So, yeah, I mean, chicken wings. Chicken wings, we've never done them in the restaurant. We always butcher all our own chickens, and we had a bunch of chicken wings, and I used to actually give them out to people while they waited, and this is based on that recipe.
So I want to talk lastly about why you love food, I guess. What is it you're trying to communicate with your food? You mentioned taking Mexican recipes and sort of adapting them. Now you have your own spin on them. What's that?
Well, sure. No, I the spin part is really, you know, following sort of your gut. It's like there's an old thing about being a musician. So a musician has to learn to play the scales, has to learn the basics. And then they have to go beyond that, and they have to start playing other people's music. And then I think if you get really good at that, then you start to branch out and kind of make your own music. But there's always an influence. You know, if you look at so many bands out there, I mean, the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones got their ideas from blues. And then they picked up another influence from country music over here in the U.S., and that became another huge influence. And then they picked up reggae influences. And the same with food, you know. I'm down there, I'm seeing what Mexican chefs are doing, and I'm seeing what's happening in my neck of the woods. I mean, I'm looking at a picture here of pecans, and I'm just thinking of the pecan trees that, growing up, I hated because they would cover my car in sap. They're a local thing that I love. I was riding my motorcycle down the Devil's Highway, out Coronado Highway, and I'm riding along, and I'm trying to envision, okay, there was churro lamb out here, and chili's growing near here, and that's not too far off what I'm doing with the lamb adobo, and there's citrus all over the place that I grew up with, and that's really relating to the orange jicama salad. And prior to the Gadsden Purchase, this was Mexico, and these flavors make sense here, and they're just of the area. And right now, I think I'm trying to celebrate both Mexican regional and be proud of the fact that I'm from Arizona, and I can put touches on there that reflect kind of what we're doing here.
Chef Jeff Smedstad of Elote Cafe, thanks so much for having us up.
Thank you so much for being here.
And you can try a taste of Smedstad Southwestern cooking tonight. He's signing copies of his new cookbook at Changing Hands in Phoenix.